I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Servcast, Mobile Serve's Canadian tech-focused podcast. I'm Patrick O'Rourke, and Brad Bennett, a man who just can't stop referring to himself as the bad boy of tech, is once again across the internet from me at an undisclosed location. It's not that undisclosed. It's like that same yellow office room that you have. You're also not wearing a leather jacket this week.
It's summertime. It's hot. I have a leather undershirt on. And I like to think of this as gold, not yellow. But, you know, it's what we dream of.
It's does Apple have a special name for, like, the gold iMac? No, it's just
gold. Yellow, right? No, it's yellow. Yeah, you're right. It's yellow.
Yellow, just yellow. Okay. I was thinking that we should refer to your room as that color, but if it's just yellow, that's not exciting.
I think marigold? What do you think about that? Anyway.
This week, yeah. We also have John Lamont, our resident Windows PC guy. He's on the podcast, and he's here to talk about Apple stuff. So, like, I kind of imagine that this is, like, a certain level of torture for him. But he's here. How are you doing, John?
It's like double agent espionage.
I'm doing pretty good. It's, like, a small torture, but not the worst torture. I always find the Apple events interesting because they announce a bunch of stuff, and half of it is like, oh, that's actually kind of neat, and half of it is, wow. That's something that's, like, been available for multiple years on other platforms. It's great. It's a great balance.
Welcome to the walled garden. It's lovely in here.
Yeah.
You can't do anything, but you might not get a virus or something.
It feels so safe and expensive.
Yeah, it feels so safe and expensive. Yeah, that's a great way to describe it, the expensive walled garden. So as you probably already guessed on this week's episode, we're only talking about WWDC. We just watched the keynote yesterday. It's fresh in all of our minds. We're going to be talking about iOS 15, iPadOS 15, macOS 15, watchOS 8, and a few other, like, neat surprises from the event. We have a ton of stuff to go over and, like, a pretty hard out on this episode. So we're going to move through it, like, somewhat quickly, I think. But before we get to that, Bennett, hit us with the hottest news of the week.
Yeah, so I'll just brush through it really quickly today so we can get through it. But first off, if you have a Chromecast with Google TV and you're a Stadia player... They did it, guys. They finally brought Stadia to Chromecast with Google TV, which is the new Chromecast with the remote. It took 8 months. It's coming, I think, June 23rd. It's also coming to a bunch of Android TVs. So 8 months after they announced the Chromecast, over a year since Stadia came out, and it's finally available on Android TVs and all the Chromecast devices. Good on you, Google. You just really good job. Moving on. Not a good job, guys. It's a joke.
It's a little late.
It's so late. Like, how did they... Sorry, I need to stand. I'm leaning too far forward. Don't worry about it. But yeah, how did they, like... It makes me so aggravated that they launched the Chromecast and didn't have Stadia. It's just Android TV. It never come to Android TV. It's like, how do you expect to grow this platform if you're going to make everyone buy a Chromecast Ultra to play it, which is like a $90 thing in Canada? It's ridiculous. Anyway, moving on.
I just want to say one thing. It makes me sad because, like... I know a lot of people are really hard on Stadia, but I think the underlying technology powering Stadia, like the actual streaming, is better than anything else out there. Like, it's more...
I think so, too.
I find that it's way more reliable than xCloud. It performs on slower connections. I think there's a place for Stadia. Like, I know there's a lot of people that hate it. Like, Brad Shankar, like, hates Stadia with a passion. And I get it. But I also think there's an audience out there for it. And it's just disappointing that Google has, like... drop the ball in so many instances on the platform.
Yeah, it's super sad because, like, yeah, that the remote that or the controller that connects right to the Wi-Fi, I think makes a huge difference, and it is just, like, amazing when you can just go off from your, like, office to your TV and just keep playing your game. It feels great. But anyway,
it's sick.
Hopefully Google will figure it out. Hopefully Google won't kill it, take it up pasture with Allo and Google Play Music and all those guys, but we'll see. Anyway, moving on, Hyundai Ioniq pre-orders have started. That's Hyundai's cool-looking electric car. Since we're breezing through this, we won't talk about it too much, but I know you're a big fan of it, Pat. I am too. I'm hoping that you or probably you will get one to review maybe if we're lucky, and then we can go hands-on with it and read a lot about it, because it seems like a cool EV, more of a mass market regular person one, which
I don't care about cars. Like, it's not, cars aren't my thing.
He hates them. He goes outside all the time. He's like, I wish there weren't any cars.
I'm like, I hate cars as much as Brad Shankar hates Stadia.
Wow.
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
No, because like, it's just not my thing, right? Like, I've never been into them, but this car, like, everything from the design to the like distance that you can drive it based on the battery, like, there's so many things in it that appeal to me. So I'm working with Hyundai to like figure something out later in the summer. So hopefully we'll have something on the site.
Yeah, even a test drive would be just helpful, I think, to write about it, because EVs are so, it's a hard like market to jump into if you want to buy one. So I think the more hands-on time we can do to write about it, give people impressions, will be helpful. Moving on, Android working to hide user advertising IDs, kind of like Apple. Although, John, you wrote this when I was reading it last night, and it doesn't seem as good as app tracking transparency. Yeah,
it's definitely not as good as what Apple's doing. The main issue there being that it's not opt out by default. So with Apple's version, it's turned off and you have to go into the settings and turn it on if you want apps to access your advertising ID. Whereas on Android, it's turned on by default and you have to go hunt through the settings menu to find the option to turn it off. Mm. The other thing is how Android works right now is you have an advertising ID and you can opt out of personalized ads, but your advertising ID is still visible. So really all that's changing is when you opt out of personalized ads, your advertising ID will no longer be visible, but everything else kind of works the same way. And then Google's going to add a different tracking ID specifically for analytics and like fraud detection and stuff like that, so that companies don't have to use the advertising ID for that. So it's a little bit more complicated, but it's ultimately a good thing, and it's going to roll out slowly. So it's starting with Android 12, and then it's going to come to older devices sometime in 2022, I believe.
So without getting too much into it, seems like a step in the right direction, but maybe not as much of a step as we'd hope.
So basically, yeah.
Okay.
Great summary.
Thanks. I basically took that from what you said. But so Apple is making AirTag app for Android, apparently, to make that less of a walled garden experience. So what, people on Android can use AirTags, or they just like can scan AirTags?
No. The app is a detection feature. So one of the big concerns with AirTags is that
you can't be tracked with an AirTag.
Yeah, you can use them to stalk people. Sense. You put an AirTag, you sneak an AirTag into somebody's bag or something, and then you can follow them around. And iOS has a built-in feature that your iPhone will warn you if there's an AirTag that you don't own that's hanging around you, right?
Yeah.
But there's no such thing for Android. So basically, it sounds like Apple's going to put out a detection app for Android that will warn you if an AirTag that you don't own is following you around.
That's pretty cool.
Which is good in one sense, because, you know, you don't want people stalking you, but at the same time, I don't really want to have an Apple app on my Android phone that the only purpose is to tell me if there's an AirTag near me that I don't own.
That is a bit like dystopian scary. You're like, yeah, I have this app. It's like, oh, what's that app for? It's like, oh, I just, so to make sure I'm not being stalked by all these like tech products that are out in the world now, because that's where we live. And everyone's like, whoa, great, cool, fun one. Is that 99 cents or do you get that for free on the App Store?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's, I guess, smart on Apple. I mean, they were getting some criticism for that, so I guess good that they did it. Yeah. And then the last one is the CRTC seems to be working on a 3-digit suicide hotline. So I guess 3-digit, kind of like 911, but it would be, you know, for suicide prevention. Seems pretty cool. Yeah, I was reading through that story last night. Sounds interesting. To my biggest surprise is like, what's holding them back from doing this exactly? There was nothing much in the story, but it's like, just put it out there. It seems like a helpful way that people can get help, and especially now in like when everyone's locked inside, although maybe that's ending.
I would imagine there's some regulatory back end to that, like to have, you know, a 3-digit like 911. There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes with that. And I wrote a story earlier about a place, I want to say in Alberta or BC, that only just got 911 recently. And before, there was like a full 10-digit number they had to call to get emergency services because they just didn't have the infrastructure out there for 911 support. So I would imagine that's probably why it's taking a long time. But it would be a good thing to have.
Interesting. I thought it would just like redirect to an established, you know, call center that we have for like mental health things, but that makes sense too. But hopefully they iron it out. It happens and it helps save lives. Kind of a downer ending of the hot news, but that's it. That's the end of the hot news. Let's talk about Apple stuff and try to be happy again. Woo.
Yeah. So the first thing I think we'll just delve into is iOS 15. I thought it generally was like a pretty boring update to Apple's mobile operating system. Last year was huge. There's a lot of new stuff. So this is pretty much what I expected, like minor new features, stuff that kind of like changes the OS to better suit the like work from home world we live in. So there's new FaceTime features like a portrait view, web-based Android/PC compatibility with FaceTime invites, which is, I didn't expect that. I didn't think that that was something Apple was ever going to do. So it's a little bit of an example of like the walled garden approach being pulled down, whether that's because of like antitrust stuff or just like something that makes sense for them to have now that we all work from home.
My bet is that maybe FaceTime is going to get like a paid component. So having the more people into it, the better. That was sort of where I was leaning towards that.
That's a good point.
I don't know.
There's also new messages features. There's like a bunch of stuff and there's notifications like with the new focus feature and stuff like that. I guess just to like kick this off, I'll throw this to both of you. What did you feel was like the biggest update, like the most significant, most interesting thing that Apple's bringing to the table with iOS 15?
Yeah, like you said, kind of boring. There was a lot to unpack. I mean, once we started writing about it, there's like more things than you could think of. But I think for me, it was either the improvements to Apple Wallet, the fact that you can get like home keys in there. So like you could use an Apple Watch or just your phone to like unlock your front door really easily. That had to like dive into your phone, unlock it, open an app, get to the key. That just streamlined things. I mean, car keys are already coming. Plus, they also showed in the States they're working to get digital IDs in there as well. So that's a huge thing for me. I've been dreaming about only having to carry my phone as my only like wallet device since I was, I don't know, in high school. So as the closer we get to that reality, the better. And
the one thing, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but the one thing I would say about that is I have absolutely like, I really don't think that's ever going to come to Canada. And if it does, it will be like 5 years from now. That's my guess.
I think I'm putting my money on 2 years from now. So, and this is why, you know, that like, what is it called? Digital ID Me app or whatever. That's kind of like going around. We've written about it a few times as it gets approved in more and more provinces. Yeah. EID. I'm thinking once that gets like regulatory approval everywhere and becomes more standardized, perhaps then it'll be easy to just integrate that into
Fair enough.
The Apple Wallet. That's where my theory is coming from. And then the other thing that I kind of liked was notification management. Basically, Apple had set these, they're called like Focus, which is just a very short name that doesn't really describe what they do at all. But they're basically like less intense versions of Do Not Disturb. So if you're at work, you put on like your work focus and then, you know, you'll get emails from work and you'll get your Slack messages to come through. But maybe you won't be getting all those random notifications from Reddit or, you know, Amazon being like, buy this, you know, you'll be getting just ideally in the perfect scenario, you'll be getting just the notifications that relate to work, and then you can have one for after work, and just, you know, then you won't be getting the Slack messages or the work emails. You'll be getting those random things from Reddit or those entertainment app notifications, and then after that, like when that is done, the notifications that it blocked, it will give you in like a kind of a cool summary, so it should help your notification screen from not being just an endless list of things to scroll through where no one is looking at it. You're like, there's 100 things here, I'm just going to clear them all and hope I didn't miss anything important. So I hope that helps, and it applies off your phone to the Mac, to the Apple Watch, iPad. It's all like synced together. I thought that was pretty cool.
And something that like, I mean, like John, I think in the notes I can see like, this is what you're going to talk about, but like, I thought that the new notification management stuff, like I agree with you. I didn't think it took things far enough. Like iOS notifications suck. It's one of my least favorite things about the operating system.
Awful.
How was it a letdown to you? Like, what did you want to see Apple do with that system? What did you want it to be more like Android like, where you can actually break down the management to a lower level?
A little bit. Just kind of opposite to Bennett. I thought that the notification management was not nearly enough for the situation that Apple has. And I have like a love-hate relationship with notifications on iOS. I find that notifications come through much more reliably on my iPhone than on Android, Like if somebody sends me an email, I get the Gmail notification on my Android phone, or sorry, on my iPhone, sometimes up to 4 minutes before it shows up on my Android phone. Like it's pretty ridiculous, the disparity. But at the same time, the iPhone, the way that it displays notifications is it's like a fire hose. It just shows everything and you end up with this huge list unless you're constantly staying on top of it, and it can be really overwhelming. Whereas how Android segments things into conversations, important and then like not important, I find is a lot better for organization, because I can really quickly access, you know, important messages, text messages, conversations, you know, instant messages and stuff like that right up at the top of my notifications.
That's happening too in iOS. Like they
is it?
Yeah, they didn't really put a big deal on it, but like I'm pretty sure that they had said that like conversations will like filter to the top.
Okay. That's a really big change. And if that's the case, like that definitely improves iOS notifications in a huge way. But yeah, for me, it was really disappointing to see what they did and just like have the focus mode and stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll have to see how well it works and if it's like implemented well. I know even on Android, like I think Facebook Messenger and Android messages work well in that like conversation system, but I don't think my Discord messages like come up into there yet, which is kind of annoying. And still, I mean, it's like the chat bubbles thing is still kind of an issue, but
there's that like daily recap too that like combines all of your notifications into one like thing at the end of the day. That
yeah, the summary.
Is that what it's called? Summary. I would try that. Like I installed all the dev betas. I have it on purple iPhone 12 mini. I just haven't had time to play around with it yet. So that's one of the things I'm excited to get a better handle on. Before we move on to iPad OS. The other big thing that I thought, at least, and I know that this isn't just an iOS feature, it works with some of the other new operating systems too, is SharePlay. To me, that seemed like a very pandemic era feature. It seems really cool. You can do all kinds of stuff with it, like watch an Apple TV Plus show with like a friend. It's like there's screen sharing, there's app sharing, there's all kinds of interesting things. I guess I'm just interested in like, what did you guys think about it? Did it just seem like Apple once again copying like features that already exist, or copying things from apps that are already available in Android or the App Store? Or do you think this is like an original, new, compelling thing that is like a better spin on that concept?
It definitely is a better spin, unfortunately, because it's like it appears to be so streamlined. It depends on how many things. I mean, Netflix doesn't support it yet. It seems like it's just Disney Plus, Hulu, and Apple
Disney
TV Plus.
Yeah. Maybe they do have an API. Like, there's a development API to support it, but like,
yeah, it's
history shows that like that doesn't mean a lot, right? At least at launch, like developers might not adapt to it. It may be too hard to use. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah.
Personally, I know lots of people use that like Netflix, like couch sharing or whatever. So you can like watch things together. It's like a Chrome extension maybe, or maybe they added it back naturally. But I know people that really enjoy that. I've never used it, but I do in my Discord chat with my friends, we have an add-on or like an app in it called Rhythm. And so anytime you share like a YouTube link, you can get it to play for everybody at the same time. So you can all listen to songs together. And we use that a lot. So taking that and adding it to FaceTime seems cool. I think you can share play TikToks. And I'm imagining for like a teen audience, like if I was like in high school, and I'm assuming if I was in high school, I'd be using TikTok more. That's just an assumption. But I'm assuming I'd be like calling my friends every night, talking to them, because we're all locked at home right now. And we could just like watch TikToks and laugh together. I think that seems like a pretty fun thing. How much it actually gets used, I'm not sure. I don't know. John, what do you...
Yeah, I think SharePlay is kind of classic Apple, where they take a feature that's kind of well established on other platforms and then do it, but do it in the Apple way, where it's a little bit better and a little bit unique. But I also think there's an element of Apple playing catch up with FaceTime and taking FaceTime to feature parity with some of the other platforms out there, like Google Meet or Duo and WhatsApp. And I think that's also part of why we saw the Android browser compatibility come out. And it's not so much Apple lowering the walled garden as it is giving Android users a very small, crappy window into the walled garden to say, hey, this is what it could be like on our side, but you're stuck over there in your web browser.
Yeah. Are you referencing iTunes on Windows and how bad that has been and continues to be for the last, like, I don't know, 15 years or whatever it is?
No.
At least iTunes on Windows was a native app, you know?
So bad, though. Have you ever used it? It's, like, one of the worst programs I've ever used in my life. Like, because I had an iPod, like, when I was younger. Obviously, I still don't use an iPod now. I'm not that old. But, like, I had an iPod, and I used it with a Windows laptop because I was a Windows user until, like, 2012, and that thing crashed all the time. And that's like a perfect example of what John's talking about, where, like, sure, you can have it, this program is here, but it runs like garbage. You should just get a Mac because it'll be better, like that sort of thing. I get what you're saying, John.
I'm on the same page too. I'm worried that, like, joining a FaceTime call from a browser, I think, will be a subpar experience than using it natively. And I hope it works well, and, like, kids and people can just, you know, chat with their friends without having to worry about, like, being excluded from being on a different operating system and stuff, because that hurts. But
I think
how well it'll work is a whole different thing.
It's one more level. So I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, but iMessage creates this kind of in-group, out-group scenario where it's like, you know, somebody might create a group message with all their friends, but if you have an Android message or an Android phone, you're now the green bubble guy and you don't get the same conversation features, and you might get kind of excluded from that group chat, right? So I feel like this is almost the same thing where, yeah, Android phones can now be.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the FaceTime call, but all the people in the FaceTime call are going to be, like, you know, putting their Memoji filters on and, like, doing all the and doing SharePlay and stuff like that. And I doubt those extra features are going to be supported in the web browser. So you'll be there, but you're going to be excluded from all the cool stuff, which
probably
might compel some people to just say, screw it, I'm going to get an iPhone so I can do all this cool FaceTime stuff. The other thing I was going to say about SharePlay is, I think for me, it's not a feature that I would use very much, but going back to the TikTok example, TikTok clearly shows that, like, sharing features are, like, a really, really great growth hack, basically. Like, if you look at TikTok's duet feature, that's, like, one of the staple features for sharing and spreading content on the platform. So I think, like, looking at what Apple's doing with SharePlay and FaceTime, those sharing features, some people are going to use them like crazy, and it's really, really going to become a staple feature. But for a lot of people like me, I'm kind of like, nah, it doesn't do anything for me.
I think that's a fair look at it.
Just before we get off FaceTime, how weird is it that they brought spatial audio to FaceTime? What does that even mean?
I don't know. Yeah, I was thinking about that last night.
We're having a video chat. We're all looking at our screens. Does it mean, like, if I just turn this way, I'm only going to
you're going to sound like
out
you're
of this
there.
Ear? But, like, yeah. What?
This is your cast now with spatial audio.
Yeah. Yeah, they're throwing spatial audio into everything right now, which is cool, but they're also implementing it in different ways. Like, spatial audio in Apple Music is different than spatial audio in FaceTime or when you're watching content on a TV. And I wish they just would have branded them in two different ways. Anyway, that's the last little thing I had to say.
Let's shift to iPad OS. I thought this was, like, a very underwhelming update, but it was also 100% what I expected. Like, so for me, I wanted widgets off the home screen. They gave me that. Thank you. They revamped multitasking to make it, like, a little easier to understand. I guess this is a little embarrassing to admit, but, like, the only multitasking I do on the iPad is, like, split screen. That's it. The other form of multitasking, I often forget how it works. And every single time I review an iPad and I have to take pictures of the other forms of multitasking, I have to Google it because I forget how it works. And, like, I don't think I'm alone in that. And it's a little sad because I'm the managing editor of a tech website. But, like, I think a lot of people run into that same issue. But anyways, Bennett, is there anything else included in iPad OS 15 that's, like, notable and that we should care about?
I think, yeah, I mean, so the thing I like the most, and this is like a me specific thing, but I think a lot of people will enjoy it, is the quick note thing. So basically, I think you can just swipe up from the bottom corner. You might need to just swipe up with an Apple Pencil. I don't think we've gotten clarification from Apple back on that one yet, but basically you can pull up a note, a tiny notepad, everywhere all the time. And you can do That's it on sick. Mac OS too, apparently, which seems sick because like removing steps into the notes app means you're more likely to take notes. And I mean, who am I kidding? When you take notes, you remember things better. It's just like, that's what notes are, have always been. So the easier you can access notes, the better. Like when I use the LG dual screen phone, my second screen was just always a notepad. And I was like, this is sick because now this phone is like a notepad that is just always there, always ready to go. It's awesome. Like on my computer right now in front of me, I have Google Keep pinned to my taskbar so I can open the notepad as quick as possible and just like start taking notes. So the removing steps from the notepad, very excited about that. I think that's cool. All the other notes stuff, like, oh, you can tag people in notes and collaborate in notes. I don't know how many people are using notes for like large form collaborative projects. Good on you. Universal control. I don't know. Do we want to jump into that or save that for the Mac OS thing?
We can talk about it now and just like explain how that applies to Mac OS, I guess.
Basically, I think that's the other cool thing. If you've used a Mac and an iPad before, you've learned that you can now use your iPad through a technology called Sidecar, which I'm assuming is just an AirPlay implementation of some kind that allows you to stream your, you know, use your iPad as a second display for your Mac. They've sort of taken that a bit further where you're not using it as a second display, but you're actually accessing the iPad and using it as an iPad at the same time with the same mouse and keyboard that you're using from your Mac. So if you put it beside it now, you can just, I mean, I'm going to describe what I saw Apple do.
Magic.
I don't think that it is going to work this well for most people. I'm just going to describe what we saw. But basically, they put the iPad down, takes the mouse, scrolls it over, and it just goes onto the iPad. Then you can pick up a file on the iPad, drag it back to the Mac, drop it, and use it on the Mac. So I'm assuming it's an AirPlay/AirDrop situation that's working very seamlessly. I don't know how he was able to transfer those files that fast unless they like pre-stage those JPEGs as like ultra compressed or something. But yeah, you can just basically put a Mac and an iPad beside each other or even two Macs and just start like dragging files between them and using the mouse on the main Mac that you're using and the keyboard on the iPad or the other Mac. And it all just works together. I guess. I don't know. It seems crazy. It seems like witchcraft, but it seems awesome.
It definitely does. And like when I think about it, I was trying to think of, you know, what hardware was, you know, playing into that and enabling that feature. And I thought, you know, maybe it's something to do with the M1 chip, but not every iPad has the M1, right?
So,
and then I was thinking, okay, well, maybe it's got something to do with, you know, ultra wideband, but Macs don't have ultra wideband chips. So like, I have no idea what hardware goes into that to make it so seamless, but like it is impressive. And if it works even close to that good, it'll be super impressive.
Yeah. So one, I don't think it's going to work as good as they showed in that demo. There's no way. Sidecar doesn't even like, it's not even as seamless as Apple made it out to be. And it can be pretty glitchy at times.
And you've done Sidecar on an iPad Pro. Cause I only have a base level iPad and I use it. And I'm always like, maybe it's just my iPad, but it does work.
It works better on the iPad Pro, but it's also like a little glitchy. Nothing to do with the M1. To my understanding, at least what I was told, is that the technology relates to Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and it has nothing to do with the M1. And that's no expansion on that statement. So maybe we'll learn more about it later. But like, I truly don't think it's going to work as advertised. I think maybe it will eventually, but at least the first implementation of universal control, it's not going to like live up to expectations. That's my guess.
It just seems so cool.
I'm going to steal a point from my macOS piece. It seems really cool at first, but the more you think about it, or at least for me, the more I think about universal control, I'm just like, it's really silly. Like why? I struggle to think of any great scenario where I'm like, I've got my Mac here, you know, I'm typing, I'm working on something, and I now want to go and use iPad OS with my Mac. Like it just seems, I can think of like a couple, you know, use cases where it would work, but generally I'm just like, it just seems really silly.
I feel you. I think because I have, like, I'm the Apple guy at the site. I have like a bajillion iPads.
He's an Apple tattoo that's the size of Steve Jobs' head on his back. I've seen it.
That'd be great. That I'm like, so I have all these devices, and there are instances where like I'll start working on a feature on my Mac, and then like maybe I want to go into my backyard and I don't want to take my MacBook Pro with me, and I want to like transfer that to the iPad. Like, there's instances that I could see that happen, but like, I'm a special use case. The average person isn't going to do that, right? Like, a lot of people that are buying an iPad Pro, not a lot, but like, I have anecdotally at least heard of people using that as their main device, right? Like, they don't have a Mac anymore. That is their main computing device, is an iPad Pro, because it's expensive, it's pricey, you get all the accessories, it costs a fortune. I think this is like, I get what you're saying, John. I guess in a roundabout way, I'm agreeing with you. I don't see the average like Apple user being able to take advantage of this in the way that Apple presented it.
Yeah. I think I'm on that page too. It's tough because like AirDrop will just do the same thing, and everyone already knows how to use it and where to use it. And, you know, like, it's not like Apple's going to be training people like, oh, you know, try out, what's this called again? Universal control. But it's like, people won't even know that that exists. So yeah. Like, are they going to use it? Probably not.
Alternative to that, I can see like, you know, an older person who maybe isn't so tech savvy, they're using their Mac and they've got their iPad on the table next to them, sure. And they accidentally go into universal control mode, and it's just like, oh no, it's over for them. They have no idea. They're like, I'm using my Mac and things are happening on my iPad. I don't know what's going on anymore.
That's like, it was stressing me out during this update too, because like, so many new things were like added in small tweaks, like all the new ways to multitask, which like, for someone like us who like, you know, gets these things, researches them, gets excited about them, it's cool. But like, I was on vacation last week and I visited my grandma, and her iPad just got updated to whatever iPad OS 14 whatever, I guess. And the Photos app changed and the email app changed. And she was having a very hard time like using those. Like, she couldn't understand it. She's like, I lost all my photos. Like, I just want to show you these pictures of your cousin's kids, blah, 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 you know, grandma's stuff. And then she's like, okay, I got to go in this email. I've accidentally put it in the trash. I know it's in the trash. I don't know how to get it out anymore, but like, we can still look at it. It's here. And like, yeah, like you said, it's tough because iPads are like the main, in my experience, are like the main computers of like elderly people, and making them more productive for people who are working like us, cool. But if we're not actually the main market, are you like pulling it away from the market that it's servicing now, like kids and elderly people who don't know technology well, or don't have the time or the want to learn all these, like, you know, specific multitasking features, put in the, you know, do this little gesture. I mean, this is kind of the reason that Windows 8 failed, right? It was all these like gestures, or what were they called, charms? And everyone was like, I don't know what this is. I don't want to use it like this. I know how to use it this way, this old way. Can we just please stay that way? And they went back. But yeah, I don't know if that kind of relates to what you're saying, but that was something I experienced recently.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of subtle changes, John, do you want to like quickly outline what's new in macOS Monterey, which is, as far as I could tell, next to nothing. There's a sick background. I got a really nice purple background now.
Sick on my background. Laptop. That's like number one biggest change here. Just absolutely beautiful wallpaper. Let's speed run this. Oh yeah, go.
Are there new dynamic wallpapers, Pat?
I don't know. Well, John's answering this. I'm gonna roll back. Okay. And I'm gonna check.
Okay, cool.
Do it. I don't know about the dynamic wallpapers. I just know that new purple one.
Yeah, sick. The purple one does look cool. It's like a very... All right.
So the big changes outside of universal control, because we already talked about that, is first, I'd say feature parity with iOS for things like notifications and the focus mode, SharePlay, etc. You can use your Mac as an AirPlay speaker now, which I guess is cool if your Mac has good speakers, but...
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's like how you can use Spotify Connect to like play something on your phone and then play it on your computer or whatever. So I guess you can kind of do the same thing with AirPlay.
There are some new ones.
Sick. I love the dynamic wallpapers. I've been trying to make one myself, but this website I've been using keeps like crashing. So I don't know how I'm going to do it.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
All right. What else is new in macOS? Monterey. Great name, by the way. I like Monterey.
Kind of a fun. I hate name. It. It's classy. I can't spell it. I've spelled it wrong five times already.
Too.
That is true. Yeah. I've misspelled it a lot.
I had a hard time with Catalina anyway. So that's
high Sierra
for me.
Yeah. Best.
Big Sur was the
Big
best.
Big Sur was the best, opinion. You're right.
Just such an odd name. Anyway, Shortcuts. The Shortcuts app is coming to macOS, which is cool, unless really into using Automator or whatever that other automations app was called that was on macOS.
I think you got it right, yeah.
I think that's still sticking around for a little while, and you can port your automations from Automator over to Shortcuts. Not really that big of a thing, but there's nothing really that big in macOS Monterey.
I think Shortcuts are big on Mac. I don't use them very much on my phone because I don't use it for work. I don't use it for productivity. But the fact that I can now like set up like three shortcuts to like open all the windows I need open in the morning, and you can set up shortcuts to like convert images really quickly and like all these other kinds of cool things. I think the productivity shortcuts I will use a lot more on Mac than I do on my phone.
That's
like,
true.
I tried to use them on my phone once before, but it was like it ended up being slower to like transfer this image from my Mac to my phone. Converted in the shortcut, blah blah blah, and you know, but I think on Mac, I think it's a pretty cool thing. I should have written about it in the roundup. Actually, I'm more excited about it than I was thinking about yesterday.
The last thing I would say is the Safari changes are pretty significant. It looks really nice, but I'm not sure. Kind of going back to what we talked about before with things changing and then people not knowing how to use it. I feel like moving the tab bar all into one thing and then turning the tab itself into your search bar is going to mess with a lot of people, and it's going to mess with a lot of people's muscle memory because your search bar is now going to move around the top of your Safari depending on where your tabs are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that potentially being a problem, but it looks really nice.
It looks so good.
The color sync with web pages, I think, is really nice. There's a couple other browsers. I mentioned to Brad yesterday that Vivaldi. Which is a Chromium-based browser, does that. And it's a really nice touch. I wish more browsers would do that because it just looks nice.
Does it go red on mobile syrup?
Or is it still... does. It does go red on mobile syrup.
I need to get on that. That sounds sweet. I love... In case you didn't know, I love things that change colors.
Yeah. So
basically, what we're saying here is like this is a pretty pedestrian update that like Apple releases a new version of macOS every year. So they just had to release another version. Like I know there's certain things in there like SharePlay and stuff we've already talked about. But generally speaking, like last year was the big change. It was the big visual revamp that I'm assuming will be in line with the MacBook Pro, the new one, whenever that comes out, which we didn't see at WWDC, unfortunately. Unfortunately, because like I'd like a break, you know. I'd
we
like
all want it,
But I still want it.
One interesting thing that I would say about macOS is considering it's such a small, kind of not big deal update. There's a surprising number of Macs that aren't going to support it, even though they supported Big Sur, which was a huge update, right? Like, I wrote it earlier, and I don't remember what exactly it was, but like a bunch of 2013 MacBooks and iMacs are just not going to support it, even though they got the Big Sur update, which I thought was a really big surprise because there doesn't seem to be a lot different between Monterey and Big Sur. But
yeah, it's interesting because, and like a lot of the things that came to Monterey are, like you said, like bringing feature parity to the iPhone or iPad OS. So it seems like those things shouldn't be drawing much more power really, because they're essentially, you know, Shortcuts is an iPhone app, SharePlay works on your iPhone. So like, yeah, it's interesting to see how these things all work out. One thing I was seeing a lot of memes about last night is iPad OS actually is getting supported quite a way back. Apparently like the iPad Air 2 is still getting it, which is wild.
It's cool.
But yeah, that's a good point.
I know we sort of got to wrap up cause we have a hard out, but like, so there's watchOS 8, not a hell of a lot new. There's new like photo watch faces. That's kind of cool in a sense.
Yeah, they use portrait data.
Yeah. In a sense, I kind of get the idea that like Apple is so far ahead of what Google's doing with Wear OS, at least right now, that like they don't need to innovate. They don't need to add new features. The watch is what it is. It's an established category now. It's a pretty mature operating system. It works. Like it has all these fitness features. I don't think there's anything else in there other than like the wallet stuff. There's like some new mindfulness features, but like similar to most of the other OS updates, pretty pedestrian, not that interesting, right, Bennett? Or was there something like missing in there?
Well, the mindfulness thing is just funny. John, do you have time for this? It'll be quick.
Yes. Sorry, I was on mute because I was opening my other meeting.
The mindfulness thing. So like the breathe, if you have an Apple Watch, it will be like, it'll every once in a while be like, hey, take a deep breath for like 30 seconds. Just kind of like, in, you know, relax. But the mindfulness one will be like the same thing, but it's like, hey, think about something that really brought you joy in your life and then think about why. And it just like is like little things like that, which I think is hilarious because I don't know. I find myself skipping the breathe thing during the day because it's like, yo, I'm fine. I don't like, I'm working. I don't have time. And then the mindfulness one is just like, you're trying to interrupt me to like, just have joyful memories. I don't know. Kind of nice, but also kind of like a little heavy handed on the relaxation, reflection type of mindset. I'm not sure. Kind of funny, I thought.
Some people love that stuff. I can't stand it. I can't either. I had an Apple Watch and it was telling me to stand up every 20 minutes, no.
I have it all turned off for the most part.
I do keep the stand up one on, but think of a summer breeze. Think of a childhood memory.
So there's Remember also TVOS 15 where like they barely even mentioned it. The only thing really is that spatial audio is finally coming to the Apple TV, which is a place where I think spatial audio makes sense. We're also going to be able to use HomePod minis as speakers for the Apple TV, which I was
I think it's only two. Oh, I was going to say you line up like six or seven of them, maybe just really.
No, I don't think
pump in sound. No, damn.
I was cracking jokes about it on Twitter. And then like, somebody sent me a link to like a story where someone just raved about how great it is. So maybe it's something I need to try. I do have two HomePod minis just sitting around that I don't really use. So I might give that a shot.
You'd probably be able to get better stereo separation because you could place them very wide apart, you know? Like part of the reason the Sonos Arc soundbar was so good because it was so wide, the stereo separation was really nice. So I guess you could kind of get that with HomePod minis, but you're going to lose that center channel unless it's still playing through the TV speakers. We'll have to test it out, but it seems skeptical.
Generally, like I thought that this was, like it wasn't a boring WWDC. It was fine. It just wasn't as explosive as last year and we didn't get the new MacBook Pro. Which I think was a letdown for a lot of people, but generally speaking, like it was okay. It was fine. It was the like expected updates. There wasn't really any surprises beyond like the FaceTime, like opening it up to the web, and in the grand scheme of things, that's pretty minor.
Yeah. It seems like it might be laying groundwork for a future, like very parity between iOS and macOS and iPadOS updates coming maybe next year or something.
Cool. So yeah, we'll skip the games we're playing this week since never changes for me anyways. I'm just playing Apex, you know? So that's it. Thanks for listening to the Syrupcast. You can find me on Twitter at Patrick_Rourke and of course on mobilesyrup.com. Bennett, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter @TheBradFad and on mobilesyrup.com. You can find me on Instagram there too, but I don't post much. But we did skip the game thing, but I want to say, but I haven't played a game. I'm watching the Bo Burnham Inside special on Netflix. Watched it like 8 times. If you haven't watched it, it is, I don't know how to describe it. It's really crazy. Broke me, I think. So
destroyed you.
Yeah.
And John, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter @John_Lamont. That's JON_LAMONT. And of course on the website, mobilesyrup.com.
And as always, you can find all of our content on mobilesyrup.com and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram @@mobilesyrup. Thanks for listening and watching.